Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Johnson, after being in front in the count, has now run it full to Josh Reddick. And with two away, that means a head start for White and McCann, who will be released on base. The 3-2. And Reddick serves it into right field. More damage by the Astros in the sixth. White's around to tie it. McCann to third. And Alex Cora's going to go to the bullpen again.
See, now, if I were you as a Red Sox fan, if you're one of these people that has called into me all year long and said that I'm too negative on the bullpen, or I don't give the Red Sox enough credit, or this or that or whatever, if you're one of those people, here's what I would do this week. I would just come clean, at least today, because I think I've got you backed into a corner, frankly. You go back to earlier in the year and the Red Sox played the Astros. They lost the first two games of the series. They won the last two. You got mad at me for saying that the weekend wasn't a success. This time they lose 2 out of 3. They won the last one, though, so does that make the weekend a success? Or how about the bullpen? I've tried to tell you all year long, the bullpen's a problem, the seventh and the eighth inning in particular, most notably the eighth. It's a problem. Then the Astros come in here, and on Friday night, you blow a game. Last night, you tried to blow another one, but they gave it back. You could have been swept by Houston this year. I've said that I think the Astros are the better team in the American League. You get angry at me for that. And yet they come in here and they win 2 out of 3. You couldn't beat Houston last October. Looks like you can't beat them now either. So you tell me where you want to start tonight. 617-779-0985. I'll ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, if he would open up the phone lines right away. I found the weekend to be incredibly frustrating. Now, is it the end of the world? No, of course not. These games ultimately don't mean a whole hell of a lot. But if you were looking for the Red Sox to show you something in this series against the Astros, if you were looking for the Red Sox to build some momentum or maybe make some sort of statement against the Astros, get some sort of rhythm in that bullpen, all of the above, any of those things, this weekend would have been a good weekend to do it. And you know what? They were on their way. That's the annoying part, is that Friday night, they were on their way. David Price gave them 6 good innings and then came out, labored at the beginning of the seventh, and Alex Cora went to the bullpen. And then you know what happened? In a game the Red Sox led 2-0, the Astros scored 3 in the seventh to go up 3-2. The Red Sox then scored in the top of the eighth to tie the game. Then the bullpen allowed 3 more runs and the Red Sox lose it 6-3. And they went down without a whimper in the ninth. And so, by the way, here's another takeaway for me from the weekend. That Houston bullpen, better than I thought. Ranked number 1 in the league, so they were good. But I always thought, yeah, some no-name relievers there, though, some guys you never heard of. After watching them Friday night, their bullpen's better than yours. And their lineup, better than yours. In a series, I would still pick Houston over Boston. That doesn't mean the Red Sox can't win. But I would pick Houston over Boston in a 7-game series come October. And at this point, honestly, I don't know how you could say you would pick the Red Sox. Again, it doesn't mean they won't win. Maybe they will. Maybe magically someone comes out of the woodwork and is able to pitch that 8th inning. What I do know is this, with certainty. Somewhere along the line, Alex Cora has to find somebody to get the ball to Craig Kimbrell. Just one guy he can rely on that month. Or how about this? I'll even take one guy in each series. Maybe it's Barnes in the first round, Kelly in the second round, and who the hell knows in the third round. But you tell me, seriously, as a Red Sox fan, how you can have faith in that bullpen after this weekend. I would like you to call tonight and explain it to me. 617-779-0985. Bullpen's where we're going to start. I think that's where the impetus is this weekend. I got a bunch of other little things I would like to pick at. There is some positive stuff, too, starting with David Price's performance. We will touch on that as well. All of them here over the course of the next hour. So we are officially in football season now. As you know, if you want to talk baseball, this hour right here is the only hour you can do it every weeknight during baseball season in Boston. 617-779-0985 on 98.5 the Sports Hub. We'll kick it off tonight with Pat, who's in Worcester. Pat, what do you got, pal?
Oh, hey, Maz. Question on the bullpen. Right now, is Stephen Wright essentially becoming a seventh and eighth inning guy, only with the uncertainty with all the other guys? I'll hang up and take your advice on that.
Okay, so Pat, Wright got the seventh and the eighth last night, and I do feel like Alex Cora is really just throwing stuff against the wall at this point. So again, Brian Johnson also got some batters last night. He failed. Stephen Wright got in there and didn't give up any runs, but I didn't feel great about his outing. It was a high wire act. In that seventh inning, there was a bunt single. Then I think Bregman singled. The Astros ended up with runners on first and third or second and third, and there was an error in there too, right? One of those innings, there was an error in there by Brandon Phillips. That was on the bunt by Altuve. And then the Red Sox got a gift on the play at the plate because I thought Altuve got his hand in there. And even if the replay was not conclusive, the fact that the Red Sox got the call on the initial play was a break. Because, again, if the replay is inconclusive, then that means that with the naked eye, the play was too close to call. And the umpire called the runner out at the plate. He called Altuve out. Had he called him safe, the replay would have left it at safe. You follow me on that? The Red Sox caught a big, big break there. Mike is in a car. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hey, Tony. The Astros just, they looked like the crisper and more talented team this weekend, which is so frustrating considering how well the Red Sox have played. But again, it just continues to expose the pitching staff as being the weakest point and the bullpen as a weak point. But the overarching concern becomes, again, I mean, you said they might have a chance in a seven-game series, but without a positive guy in that seventh and eighth inning, they literally have no chance. There's no way. The hitting will not, like, compensate for bad pitching late in the game.
Okay, so, Mike, look, I don't know if it will or it won't. I think it's unlikely, but I don't think I can state definitively that they're cooked. It feels that way. You got to have a guy you can rely on in that eighth inning. They need a second reliever other than Kimbrel. That's the way I'll say it. They need a second reliever. If all they have is a closer and a couple of starters that they think can give them six or seven, it's not going to be enough. I don't think. I just don't see where that's enough artillery. So to me, someone is going to have to emerge there. Now, if you're asking me at this stage, who do I think that is going to be? My answer is I don't know. I think the Red Sox think it's going to be Barnes. So what's Barnes' injury? Is it a hip issue?
Yeah.
I think it's a hip issue, right? So I think the Red Sox have, quote-unquote, shut down Barnes because they want to make sure he's right in October. And the fact that they are being careful with Barnes tells me that he's important to them. Now, I lump them all in one big pile. Barnes, Kelly, Hembry, hell, Stephen Wright, Brian Johnson, Bobby Pointer, Tyler Thornburg, pick whoever you want. I threw them in one big pile. But in their minds, there has to be a pecking order. I think they have Barnes at the top of the list. I think that's why they are being careful with Barnes, because they are saying he's our best bet. And I'm guessing on that. I don't know, but that's how I feel. But this weekend, again, you want to go back to Friday night? Brazier got in this weekend. He gets smacked around. He doesn't look like he can do it. Hembry allowed inherited runners to score twice, I think, right? Did he pitch? I can't even remember if he pitched Friday night. Maybe he didn't. Joe Kelly is the one that gave that one up on Friday night. Did any of them come out of the weekend unscathed? Did any of them come out of the weekend making you feel better about them versus worse? Because I don't think they did. Really, unbelievable. It is September 10th. The Red Sox, I think, have 18 games left. They've played 144, I believe. They have 18 games left. They're 8.5 up. They're closing in on 100 wins. They're probably going to set the franchise record for victories in a season. And yet, we are still asking who Alex Cora is going to go to in the late innings to get to Kimbrel. We have no idea. And if you think it's bad enough that Jim Murray is spinning the wheel of gutless bums on a nightly basis here, I'm here to tell you that Alex Cora is spinning it, and last night is proof. We'll explain when we come back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Guys, it's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel.
Thornburg, Kimbrel, Brazzers.
And today's gutless bum is the jackpot of song.
Score is right. Here comes Gurriel. Play at second base. Going to be safe in there. Wow. And the Astros have taken the lead. Fly ball. Mookie Betts running to get under this. Coming under. He's got it. Springer tagging. Trying to score. Throw comes through. And he will score. Sprawling in at the plate. The runners move up. And Houston takes the lead 4-3. Now the skip away. And that's going to bring in a run. On a wild pitch into score Altuve. And a little breathing room now for Houston, 5-3.
I mean, the stuff was good. You know, the breaking ball at White, we have to execute that one. There was a few hits there that, you know, it is what it is. The hardest hit ball was with Bregman. And then he threw the breaking ball for the wild pitch. Obviously, we have to be better. He's been throwing the ball good, but he knows it, and you know, that's what we're hoping for.
That's all from Friday night. Before we get to that, just a quick reminder, the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Big Y World Class Market. Big Y has all the bases covered to get your game ready this baseball season, so stop in tonight on your way home. Typically, Big Y gives us the matchup of the game, but the Red Sox are off tonight. Nonetheless, Eric, thanks to Big Y. That game on Friday night. Right. Just think of how you would have felt had it all gone a little differently. And then I'm going to get right to your phone calls. But the Red Sox are picking it up a little bit. Houston's coming in. You know, it's a big series. It's the team that bounced them in the playoffs last year. David Price is returning to the rotation. And then Price comes out and pitches well. In fact, he looked downright dominating at times. Was throwing hard, was throwing in. You know, was spotting the ball, all of it, like aggressive, good pitching by Price. He starts to lose it in the seventh, and they pull him. And then the whole thing collapsed. And so it's like, I don't know how you all felt as Red Sox fans, but to me, it brought me to my knees right away. I sort of looked at it and said, the Astros are better than they are. Their bullpen's not good enough to get through that Astros lineup. And so, look, maybe someone knocks off Houston in October. Anything's possible. But the Yankees have a good lineup. The Indians aren't as good as the other two teams. But
still dangerous.
But they're nothing to sneeze at. And, there's an interesting story online, just as a quick aside, about how the Red Sox and Yankees were pissed off at the Josh Donaldson trade because they feel like there was, you know, some hanky-panky that went on there. Typically, you're not supposed to be able to trade a player who's injured or put him through waivers. So the question is, how did Donaldson get through? But in any case, the Indians
are diabolical Millsy.
Okay, so the Indians are nothing to sneeze at either. And the Red Sox are 2-4 against the A's. So the bottom line is, the bullpen's no lock against anybody. And the more I think about it, I think all four of those teams have better bullpens than the Red Sox, which scares me and should scare you. So just the game on Friday night brought you to your knees right away. Price pitched well. Up 2-0 into the seventh, and they just collapsed.
In a playoff field, too. I mean, the Astros were obviously game. I mean, hell, the whole series, and this annoyed the hell out of me, just as an aside, Maz. Like, the whole series felt like a home series for the Houston Astros. Those people actually traveled well for them, so kudos to them. But still, how that unraveled with the performance that you got from Price on Friday, like, oh, God. I've never felt good about the bullpen. I can't believe we're still this far into the season, and we're still doing this Wheel of Gutless Bums bit because it still fits, because there's nobody you can trust.
It's amazing, isn't it, Barry?
If it's not one guy, it's another. But I left Friday night, just saying, this team's not winning the World Series unless this bullpen magically transforms itself between now and the postseason.
I mean, so that was really, that loss on Friday night left a mark. Now, look, by the time the playoffs come around, I don't know, maybe it'll be softened, it'll be gone. That's 3 weeks away. And for the Red Sox, it's more like 3.5. But that loss on Friday, that's the one that made you go, oh, they can't get through that lineup. They can't get through there. Joe's in Charlestown. Go, Joe.
Hey, Mass, you know, it wasn't even that game Friday that got me bummed out. I was at that Cleveland Indians game when Porcello gave up that home run. I was two seats away from Tito's face. You should have seen him, right? That scared me then. I've been scared since then. Since we played the Indians in that series, I've been scared. Because what? I've never seen a team feed off each other like this Red Sox team right now.
So
they're hitting, they're all hitting. But if they're not hitting, it is painful. It is painful to watch.
Okay, so Joe, look, there are, in any team when they don't hit, they're painful to watch. I mean, they can look lifeless, gutless, all of that when they don't hit. And I'm just telling you that in October, you're going to have days where you don't hit. And it's not just about the pitching. The weather gets colder. The whole thing is more conducive to good power pitching, October. That's why power pitching matters. It's harder to hold the bat, all of that. If you're lucky enough to play in a late October, chances are you're going to get some pretty cold nights. Nights in the 40s, maybe even in the 30s, some cases. It favors the pitchers. So you're going to have, and maybe the power pitching then in the bullpen will be better. Maybe that's what you have to bank on. Maybe you have to look at it and say, yeah, but, you know, Kelly in October, when it gets down into the low 50s and 40s and maybe even the 30s, Kelly will be tough to hit. Or Barnes will be tough to hit. Maybe you bank on that. I just have a hard time believing those guys are going to be able to do it. And you know what? Now that I think of it, had they bounced back last night and had they given you a good performance last night, you could at least come out of the series and say, okay, well, I felt a little bit better. It was no better last night. They won the game, but they stole it. They got a break on a call from the umpires on that play at the plate on the ground ball to Bogarts with the infield in. But the relievers still didn't pitch well. Like, I don't know how you can feel good about it against a good lineup and a good team when they come out of the weekend. Again, I'm talking purely about the bullpen now. The division's over. They're going to win it. But that didn't do anything to reassure you about their pitching against good teams in October. Nick's in Beverly. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Matt. So, I've been listening to this show all summer and, you know, hearing you guys complain about, you know, the Sox and, you know, they have one of the best seasons in team history. But, you know, you're 100% right, and I wanted you to be wrong. But, I mean, those are the world champs right there. And, you know, if they, you know, after that, I don't know how anyone can have any confidence in them going deep.
So, look,
with a bullpen like that.
Yeah, Nick, look, don't get me wrong. It's nice to be right, but it's really not about that. You just sit there and what do you see? You watched them all year long too. So sometimes I think often fans let their emotions get in the way of it. You look at the team, you want the team to win, you want to believe in them. So you don't see the bad stuff as clearly. You don't see Barnes's inability to throw strikes or Kelly's inability to throw strikes. Maybe you do. Some people do. I like to think a lot of people do. But the ones of you that get angry at me, how do you think Alex Cora feels right now? So ask yourself that question. Because watching last night, watching Cora sit there and looking out at that mound, something struck me, and I'll get to that in just 1 second. Frank's in New Jersey. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, Matt. I felt the Astros were the best team in baseball all year going back to spring training and still feel that way. In addition to the reasons you gave, they've proven they could get it done in October already. So we saw that last year, so that's another factor in this as well. And you have to favor them in a postseason series against the Red Sox. I don't see how you do otherwise. I called you early in the year, and I said to you that the Red Sox record covers up for their deficiencies. And the record now is 98-46. And you look at that record and you say, well, I mean, how could you complain about a team that's 52 games over 500? But I still feel the same way. I still feel like their record covers up for their deficiencies, mainly that deficiency being their setup relief. So I'll leave you with this question. Eovaldi and Wright, do you think that those guys can be effective solutions or effective pitchers in the postseason out of the bullpen? I have my reservations, but I'm kind of torn on it. What do you think?
Okay, so look, the answer is yes, of course. Anybody gets on a hot streak, they can be effective. Remember, Tim Wakefield in 2003, before the home run he allowed to Aaron Boone in Game 7, Tim Wakefield was probably going to be the MVP of the LCS. He was dynamite in that series. Great. So if Wright gets on some sort of run, sure, he could be effective. Could Eovaldi? I'd like to see him in some sort of two-inning role or even one-inning role in the bullpen. In you know, I think we're going to see it here down the stretch where he rarely, rarely airs it out. That's what I would like to see. So my answer is sure. It just would be nice with 3 weeks to go if we already had the answer to that. Typically, world championship teams aren't grasping at straws here in the final weeks of the season looking for answers. And the Red Sox are. So, again, forget about how you feel about it. Think about the manager. We'll get to him and also some of his decision-making last night. One in particular that has nothing to do with the pitching staff. We'll get to those after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
You're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is a bunting situation. But it's funny because on one of the first days that Kinsler got here, he tried to bunt. And Mookie Betts says, hey, we don't bunt here. Well, let me tell you, right here, if you're Alex Cora, you have to bunt. And your closer should be starting to warm up right now.
You got a guy at the plate in Kinsler who can handle the bat as well as anybody. He takes.
And the way you answer this situation here is if you're going to bunt 5 weeks from now, you should be bunting now. Because this is a dress rehearsal for the playoff / World Series.
But the reverse of that, if they don't bunt right now, do you think it's a dress rehearsal on how to move runners when you're not a bunting team? Like, I wonder right now if Ian Kinsler's main objective is to go to the right side of the field. And in October, we see this team still stick with not sacrificing and moving guys in other ways.
I think it's a mistake. Don't overthink it. If they're giving you a layup, don't shoot a three-pointer. This is 100% a situation where you bunt, you're looking for one run, get that closer up, get a win, get some confidence, and get the Astros out of here. Put the pressure on the pitcher and the defense to execute. Do not put any additional pressure on Ian Kinsler. Par is a win. You don't need a birdie here. You need a par. Bunt the ball.
That was in the bottom of the eighth inning last night. This one irritated me, too. I don't know how many of you stayed up for the game. Red Sox had first and second with nobody out. 5-5 at the time, they'd already blown the lead. 5-5 in the bottom of the eighth inning, two on, nobody out. Ian Kinsler comes to the plate. Jimmy Stewart, what would you do in that situation?
Let him hit away and dump the ball into right field.
So you would?
Absolutely.
You wouldn't bunt there?
He hasn't laid down a successful sacrifice bunt since 2014.
Okay.
I don't want to put a player who I'm just familiarizing myself in a situation to fail. The play is he gets a pitch outside, he hits it the other way, they score the go-ahead run, beating the Red Sox.
So take away the fact that Ian Kinsler has not had a sack bunt in 4 years.
But you can't just take something away that's a real statistic, a tangible fact.
Okay, but sure you can, because maybe no one's asked him to do it, but he's capable of doing it. Do you think he's capable of bunting?
I don't think he is, because he hasn't done it successfully in 4 years.
See, I think he is. I think he is capable of bunting.
So why hasn't any other manager have him do it?
Okay, so because maybe they just wanted him to hit because they think he's a good hitter. I don't. I mean, he's hit .240 over the last 2 years. So I just want this thrown out there. Ian Kinsler can't bunt for a hit then, apparently, in the postseason. That should not be allowed, right, because he can't bunt?
Or maybe this pitcher is tough to bunt against, and that's why they didn't put the play on.
Okay, I think Cora screwed up. I'm with A-Rod. First and second, nobody out. You got a second baseman up there who hits 240 and you let him hit away. And so then you look at it and say, well, for what? Like, who are the next batters? Brock Holt was up next. And then I think it was Cora. Not Cora. Leon, and who am I forgetting?
Swihart hit there.
So maybe it was Swihart, right. So here's what I'm saying, though. If you want to say, well, I don't know if any of those guys are capable of getting a hit, fine. But you don't need a hit if there's a man on third base. All you need is a fly ball. Hell, you might get a wild pitch. You might get an error. Maybe the infield will come in and someone will hit a jam shot over someone's head. I don't know. First and second, and you know what? I thought A-Rod made a good point. If they have that situation in the postseason, bottom of the eighth, 5-5 game, you are at home. First and second, nobody out in a playoff game. You're not going to bunt there to get the guy to third?
It's not what you do well.
Okay, so again, this is where I would say to you.
I mean, Tony, if you want to send up Brock Holt to bunt because you think he's a better bunter, then you pinch hit Brock Holt for Ian Kinsler, if that's what you want to do.
Okay, so Jimmy, all I'm saying is that I believe that Ian Kinsler can bunt.
Yeah, he's a professional baseball player. You hold the bat horizontal. How hard can it be? I don't care if he's been bad.
It's amazing how difficult a fundamental like that is, especially in the launch angle era.
So he's a middle infielder, though, Jimmy. If it's J.D. Martinez, I would agree with you. But Ian Kinsler, a middle infielder, he can handle the bat. He should be able to bunt. And so I just look at it. I think if Cora does that in October and they lose, he will never live it down. That first and second, nobody out, bottom of the eighth of a 5-5 game at home, and you get your closer warming? The Red Sox are gifted that game last night. I'm with A-Rod. That's an automatic bunt. Josh is in Rhode Island. Unless you have J.D. Martinez up or even Betts, like, and you say, well, that's a little different. Josh in Rhode Island. Josh, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, a little sort of conspiracy theory on Chris Sale. You can do the Philly voice off if you like, but I think this layoff of Chris Sale is more to do with the bullpen than his actual late season success or lack of success. I think it's pretty much when it comes postseason time, if he's not starting, he's going to be the guy getting like that out that Brian Johnson couldn't get on a night he's not starting. I think it's just once it comes postseason time, he's going to be the jack of all trades, I guess, is what I, only way I can say. Cora's not an idiot, so I'm sure he knows that his bullpen stinks, and that's what he's saving all the Chris Sale's bullets for.
So, Josh, you think that this is all part of a plan, and it's by design that they are just going to bring Sale back as a reliever?
Not a reliever, no. Kind of like what Bumgarner did in his last World Series run, maybe I think even more, though. I think he's thrown 146 innings this year. Last year he threw 215. He'll probably end up with, we'll say, 160. He's going to start. I just think the night he's not starting, if you need a strikeout in a late sixth or late seventh inning, he's going to be the guy instead of Brian Johnson trying to get.
I got you. So that they're going to use him in between starts out of the bullpen. Look, I hope you're right. I have a hard time believing, though, that they would shut him down and then all of a sudden they're going to bring him back and use him four times a week or three times a week. I just have a hard time believing they're going to do that. But if they are, if this is all part of some master plan to get him nice and rested so they can run him into the ground in October, then I guess I still think you'd be better off having a reliever and letting Sale go eight when he starts, because then you're going to have to manage that way. The other thing is, you mentioned Bumgarner. Look at Bumgarner's build. On baseballreference.com, I don't know if Murray or Jimmy Stewart, tell me how big Bumgarner is listed at, because I'm willing to bet that Madison Bumgarner is 6'5", 235. And if he's not listed at that, it's because the listing is from early in his career.
6'4", 242.
Okay, so there you go. 6'4", 240. The guy's massive. Massive. Alex is in his car. Alex, go ahead.
Hey. I think they need two guys. They need a guy like Zach Britton or what's that called, Miller. How is Britton able to pitch for the Yankees at all? I mean, they stole him away from us.
Okay, so Alex, you're not getting those guys. It's over. Whoever you get now can't pitch in the playoffs. So that's all gone. What you've got is what you've got. It's got to be someone in the organization. Nick's in Belmont. Nick, go.
Hey, Mesh, yeah, I think the fact that you're talking up small ball right here, just it says everything. I mean, you don't believe in it, and you believe that they should have done it with Kinsler. So I couldn't agree more. Kinsler should have bunted. And if they can't, if they don't have a guy that can bunt with first and second in the eighth inning like that, in that kind of a situation, they need to get a guy. I mean, it's ridiculous, but they need to have someone on this team that can bunt in that sort of a situation.
So, Nick, to me, this isn't a small ball launch angle. It's not any of that. Like, you're talking about a philosophical discussion about how to play a season. I'm telling you that in the playoffs, you have to play situational baseball. First and second, nobody out in a postseason game with Ian Kinsler at the plate, and you're going to let him hit away? And remember, too, you'll have pinch hitters on the bench. Okay, so there'll be guys that you can send up there to get a fly ball. But in that spot, this isn't about, honestly, this isn't about whether I like small ball or I like the launch angle, grip it and rip it, or any of that. Because you know what? I would tell you there's a place for all of it depending on who the player is and what the point in time is. I'm not philosophically for or against any of that stuff. I just believe in doing what you need to do at that particular point in time. And again, if you listen to Alex Rodriguez, and look, I know A-Rod's an a-hole. I get it. I know who he is. But I also think that philosophically, he's right. That situation, 100%, you bunt. If J.D. Martinez is up, if Mookie Betts is up, hell, I'll even give you Xander Bogaerts. Then it becomes more of a decision. Now a guy could hit a double to the gap, and you're asking him to do something that he really is never asked to do. But Ian Kinsler? Middle infielder his whole career who can run? Who can handle the bat a little bit? And he can't put down a bunt? He can't even try? That's a mistake. It is. It's a mistake.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.